I am going to get back to Isaiah 43, but this morning I want to elaborate on something I told you yesterday. Hi, this is Martin Zender. This is the Revelation series. I said that in these, the last days of Millennium 6, there's going to be a reversal of what we saw in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we see Israel and the kingdom receding after Acts chapter 5. And we see Paul's ascendancy starting in Acts chapter 9. The nations become vibrant. The nations become involved in God's plan. That's putting it mildly. And Israel begins to wane. And I said that we will see a reversal of this. I did say that Israel will come into the kingdom in a day, but there is preparation for that. There's always preparation for God, but it's divine from start to finish. It's not a human rehabilitation program. And along the line of the kingdom returning, there will be signs. Israel always did look for a sign, and God gave Israel signs, even to the worldly Israelites who dared him to give them a sign. He said, I will give you one sign. That's the sign of Jonah. I saw a video the other day, and it may have had something to it. Apparently, there was a great eclipse the year that Jonah prophesied to the Ninevites. And this is relevant because there is another, there's a great eclipse coming, as you know, the 21st of August, which, as I speak to you, is 11 days away, 10 days away. And that this was, that the eclipse to the Ninevites was significant to the Ninevites. In other words, it was not just Jonah's uninspired preaching that brought repentance to 20,000 people in Nineveh. That there was an accompanying sign that would have frightened the Ninevites and impressed them as to the power of God. The sky grew dark. It's also significant that the sky grew dark when our Lord gave his spirit back to God on the cross. So is the eclipse significant? I can't believe that it's not at this time in Aeonian history. But I'm not going to make a claim that it is. But I suspect that there's something to it. It's part of the signs. It's so close to the September 23rd sign. And it's close, so close to the fulfillment of the 6,000 years from Adam that I think it is significant. But Israel looks for signs. God gives them signs. So we would expect to see an increase of signs as the days get closer, and we will. And this sign in the heavens is one of those signs. But of course, Israel falls in love with the signs and not the one to whom the signs point. But along that line, we also have to beware of false signs, because Satan will imitate a coming move of God. That's his standard procedure. I'm going to read for you. I've read this before, but I want to keep this passage of scripture in front of you, because it's hard to believe. Few people believe it, but it's very important to understand that we are in the days of true signs, but that means we're also in the days of false signs, because Satan will oppose God's truth with false signs. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 6, and now you are aware what is detaining for him to be unveiled in his own era. Paul's talking about the man of lawlessness here. And he says, for the secret of lawlessness is already operating. Only when the present detainer may be coming to be out of the midst, then will be unveiled the lawless one, whom the Lord will dispatch with the spirit of his mouth and will discard by the advent of his presence. Now, Paul says the secret of lawlessness is already operating. I want to make sure you understand what the secret of lawlessness is. The secret of lawlessness is that the most diabolical works of Satan are expressed under an umbrella of righteousness, are expressed through a whitewashed wall. You will not expect the most evil, the most vile things. This is a secret. Most people don't know this. You will not to expect, you will not, should not, you wouldn't expect the most vile things to be seen for what they are. Vile. For what they are. Demonic. Satanic. No, but today, Satan disguises himself as a messenger of light. That's the secret of lawlessness. The secret of lawlessness is that the man of lawlessness will be a white horse rider, as we read in the early chapters of the unveiling. And he will appear to nearly everyone. Even the elect would be deceived if it were possible, as a political savior and a spiritual savior and every kind of savior. But the secret of lawlessness will still be operating at that time. It is only when this man announces that he is God that all the facade, the whitewash, is stripped off. There will come a time when the whitewash is stripped off and the secret of lawlessness expires. Now, the secret of godliness, what's that? I suppose you could say it's the opposite of the secret of lawlessness, but it still has to do with something that's hidden. Everybody wants to see God. Everybody wants to see godliness in the form of God. People challenge God to show up, and he never does, but in fact he does through us, through his people. We announce God's peace. We announce God's reconciliation. We announce God's sovereignty, his control in the world, and his graciousness. We announce a message of transcendent grace. That's the secret of godliness. That will also expire at around the same time that the secret of lawlessness expires. The secret of lawlessness expires when the facade is taken away and evil is shown to be what it is. And it's shown to be a big faker the whole time. The secret of godliness will expire when God himself shows up and begins doing these judgments. Also this, that we who have been hidden, we whose lives have been hid together with Christ in God, will be unveiled. Now, we're not going to be unveiled on the earth, but Israel is. So you might count that as the spirit of godliness being, or the secret of godliness finally being unveiled. When all these things are unveiled, things are going to be seen for what they are. We will be seen for what we are. The forsaken Israel will be seen for what it is, and the enemies of God will be seen for what they are. In the meantime, we're still in it. Now, the secret of lawlessness is operating when the present detainer, what's the present detainer? I believe we are what detains. We are the ambassadors of peace, and we detain the man of lawlessness from being unveiled. The question would be, Martin, what is it? What does it mean when it says unveiled? That's a good question. I'm not sure. Does it mean when he's actually unveiled in the Holy of Holies, when he goes into that false temple and makes that horrible announcement, sets up the abomination of desolation and says that he is God? I'm just not sure. Only when the present detainer may be coming out of the midst, then will be unveiled the lawless one. I really, now that I'm reading this again, I do believe that this unveiling is not just the man of lawlessness appearing on the world stage, but I think it is this taking away of the secret of lawlessness, because that's in the context here. So this would be the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, the man of sin, prophesied by Paul. The man of sin is literal. The man of sin is a human being. It's not a concept. It's not, as some have told me, the dark parts inside of me personally that oppose God. Everyone has a man of sin inside them. You can get all weird and allegorical about that, but we take the scriptures literally. Only when the present detainer may be coming out of the midst, then will be unveiled the lawless one, whom the Lord Jesus will dispatch with the spirit of his mouth. This backs up, you're not going to like to hear this, but this could be showing us that our snatching away will happen right before the man of lawlessness sets up the abomination of desolation. And as you know, this will take place in the middle of the last 7.5 years. And I have given that time to you as the latest time that we could be snatched away. The middle of the last 7 years, which in our timetable of years from Adam would be the spring of 2024. Could be the fall. I'm not sure. I can't remember that. But Paul doesn't say here how long before. That's the thing. So what I just said is off the table, because I'm remembering my own teaching now that if Paul believed that the snatching away was to be in his era for a time when he's writing to the Thessalonians, he believes that it's imminent. And he also is aware of the 7,000 year plan, the 6-1 ratio. And well, he should be. The man wrote Hebrews and talked about the Sabbatism left for the people of God. Then Paul obviously does not think that the snatching away has to be right up against these things. But now here we are, 2,000 years from Paul, and we see that it is going to be smack up against it. But we still don't know, like Paul, we still don't know how smack up against it. Right? You understand? Because time's being compressed now. And we see the closing years of Adam, the final years of Millennium 6 coming to a close. Whom the Lord will dispatch with the spirit of his mouth, will discard by the advent of his presence. And by the way, every chief of this eon is today being discarded. There's another secret. It's not in the scripture, but it's the secret of the chiefs of this eon. The secret. I'm inventing a new secret, basically. This is not scriptural. This is Martin Zender speaking to you now. Is that the chiefs of this eon are being discarded even while they appear to be on the ascendancy. They appear to be prospering. You look at people and you envy them. You envy them for their power. You envy them for their influence. You envy them for their wealth. You envy them for their looks, for their celebrity. Whatever you envy them for, that is the chiefs of this eon. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1 or chapter 2. Then this is the secret of the chiefs of the eon. There are 12 secrets in scripture. I'm adding a 13th. The secret of the chiefs of this eon is that they are, even while they appear to be prospering, while they appear to be on the ascendancy, they are being discarded by God. They're on their way out, and you need anointed vision to see it. Sometimes you don't need anointed vision because you see it unfolding on the news. Immediately coming to mind is, from a few years ago, Bernie Madoff, the guy with the Ponzi scheme who ripped off so many people, so many millions of dollars, enriched himself, lived on yachts. His family lived an extravagant lifestyle. And yet, at the same time he was prospering, he was being discarded because the authorities were on to him and they discovered his plot. And so he was on the wane, even while he appeared to be living a luxurious lifestyle. And if you looked at him and his family, you would think, well, that's a lucky guy. But you didn't know the story. You didn't know the backstory. You didn't know what was happening behind the scenes. I'm telling you, by the word of God, what is happening behind the scenes with the chiefs of this eon. Namely, they are presently being discarded. So don't let what you see deceive you, just as I don't want what you see concerning yourself in the mirror to deceive you. You're on the ascendancy. They are on the descendancy. I would not want to be anyone right now but me. I would not want to be anyone. Even in the midst of trial, and I'm speaking to many of you as far as this trial goes, do not trade your position now for anything. You're on hallowed ground. You're on a testing ground. You are well positioned. You are placed by God right now to inherit ridiculous aeonian wealth. And you are big time on the ascendancy. You're big time perched, primed for glory. And it would be more foolish than Esau selling his birthright to his brother for a bowl of soup. Don't do it. Don't envy people who appear to be prospering. Even in your sorest trial, if the Madoff types, if the celebrity types, if the chief of this eon types, if they were to be given a revelation or a vision about your immediate future, and you were somehow miraculously kept in the dark, they would trade with you in a second. This is assuming that someone would be given divine revelation concerning your destiny. Your destiny. So things today are not as they appear. We're living in a negative image world where truth is supposed to be lies, and lies are put forward as truth, and where those who are really something in this world are trodden and despised, and those who purport to be something are nothing. The Apostle Paul said he was not a respecter of persons in the sense that he was able even to come against Peter when Peter played the hypocrite. When Peter was wrong, Paul said, I know this is the chief apostle, but he's also a man and he's wrong. So if Paul could see that of the chief apostle of Christ, then surely we can see it of those of this eon. I had not planned to talk about this today. So now on Monday, I'm going to finish 2 Thessalonians. You can read it on your own. Chapter 2. It's about false signs, false wonders. You need to be aware of this. You need to be aware of people telling you that they're raising the dead. You need to be hyper vigilant of people who are claiming to see things and claiming to hear things, because we're in a time of great spiritual warfare. I told you how Satan is going to drag a third of the stars from heaven to battle this coming of the sons of God, the sons of Israel, the sons of Abraham to the earthly scene. A remnant is going to turn into an army, and Satan's going to bring opposition to it. And so he's anticipating even that. And so he's building a monstrosity of lies, a monstrosity of falsehood that will have God's name on it. It will have Christ's name on it, but it will be false. Don't be deceived by it. So read this on your own. I kind of feel bad that I'm leaving you in the lurch there, but this is in accord with Satan. I just have to read it. I can't leave you like this. Whose presence, this is the Antichrist, is in accord with the operation of Satan. It's so bizarre to say this, because it will appear to be in accord with the operation of Christ, which is why the Antichrist in earlier chapters of Revelation comes as a white horse rider with all power and signs and false miracles. There it is, false miracles with every seduction of injustice. Injustice is also disguised as justice. Among those who are perishing. The only people going to fall for this are the ones who will be perishing for the eon. Because why? Verse 10, chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, they do not receive the love of the truth. The love of the truth must be received. And in order to be received, it follows that it's given. It's a gift. Truth is a gift. But they don't receive it. They don't receive it for their salvation. If they did receive a love of the truth, they'd be saved for the eons. Those who are not saved for the eons do not receive a love for the truth. Therefore, this explains why those you talk to reject you. They don't have a love of the truth. Therefore, God will be sending them an operation of deception. So the poor get poorer. In God's book, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. They do not receive the love for the truth. God sends them an operation of deception for them to believe the falsehood, for them to believe it. It's dished up to them on a silver platter for them to believe it, that all may be judged who do not believe the truth, but delight in injustice. And I've told you many times that the organized religious world does delight in injustice. It has a heaven for itself, and it has a hell for you. It has a place of privilege for itself always, and it has a place of abomination and desecration and eternal torment for you. A great mark of the Spirit of God in someone is the delight, is the wish, is the desire to bring others to where they are, to even give up your place for another, to be like the Good Shepherd who leaves the safety of the fold with his 99 sheep and goes out into the wilderness and risks his neck on the rocks in the mountains to find the one lost sheep. If that spirit is in you, then the Spirit of Christ is in you. You will see through the lies, and your heart will be opened. It will be broadened. The eyes of your heart will be enlightened, not only to see the grace and glory of God, but to want to extend it to others, to the rest of the world, to those who are now in darkness. That's going to happen. You will be instrumental in bringing the peace and the truth of God to myriads, myriads in the celestial realm and at the great white throne. You will be instrumental. In the meantime, hold it in your hearts. In the meantime, don't forsake what Jesus Christ himself is telling us through our Apostle Paul. We are ambassadors of peace in a world of chaos.